Well, hi and welcome everyone. I am Stacey Barr, the Performance Measure Specialist of StaceyBarr.com. I'm creator of Pump and the Performance Measure Blueprint, and I want to welcome you to this webcast, which is going to equip you with a very powerful tool for anybody who is trying to convince colleagues or decision makers, managers, executives, that performance measurement can be a much less cumbersome and much more engaging and meaningful process than they ever thought it could be. It's a mind map exercise to trigger KPI engagement. In fact, this webcast is in response to amazing feedback that we got from last week's email where I shared with you a mind map exercise that I often use and have used for many, many years now to engage people who aren't yet convinced about spending more of their precious time on performance measurement. We got a lot of thank you emails about that mind map exercise, but we also did get some questions about how to use it, how to tailor it to your own situation, and that's why I'm giving this webcast for you. This is your opportunity to experience the unique and powerful mind map exercise with me so that you can get the details for how to use it yourself, how to use it in your own situations to heighten the engagement that your colleagues have for good performance measurement. And look, I reckon why not do what you can to help them feel more excited about measuring what matters? You know, don't sit there and wait for them to come around and see the light. You can step up and into that space of being a performance leader right now. So in this webcast, which actually is a how-to class, I'm going to step you through the details of how the mind map exercise works. I'll give you first-hand experience in how to facilitate it, and we're going to create one together as well with your live input. I'm going to also send you a copy of this map too. Now, we do not have slides for this event. It's just you and me talking and typing to each other. You've got that download of the mind map template on the webcast page there so that you can use that and scribble on it yourself. But I'm working off the very same template and will be documenting all of your input today so that you can get a copy of it at the end and see it as a model, really, that can help you get very familiar and comfortable with how to facilitate the same conversation for your colleagues. We'll have plenty of opportunity for you to ask your questions as well. And in particular, I'll take you through now what we're going to be covering together today. Firstly, we'll go over what the structure of the mind map is, why it matters, how to get familiar and comfortable with it before you go and facilitate it live for your colleagues. Always good to feel confident and know what you're doing before you put yourself out there like that. The next thing we're going to cover is the kinds of details that go on each of the tentacles or branches of the mind map and how to quickly make the decision about where to put your colleagues' contributions on the map when you're doing the exercise and having that conversation. I'll also share with you how to introduce the activity to your colleagues to build their curiosity and to get them engaged in doing it very quickly. I'll also show you how you can debrief the activity with your colleagues so that you can seamlessly lead them to make their own wiser decisions about implementing improved performance measurement. This is one of the keys of engagement, everybody, is your colleagues need to make the choices and the decisions. They should never feel like they're being pushed into something. It's that pull strategy rather than the push strategy. Finally, for those of you who are interested in hanging around, I'm going to share with you some options I suggest that you could provide to your colleagues to transform their renewed vigor for performance measurement and measuring what matters, to transform that into immediate action, because you really do need to take a deliberate approach to improving your performance measurement process if you're going to have different experiences than you have in the past. So if you want more meaningful measures, if you want your strategy to be more measurable, if you want people using measures and measures to guide performance improvements, and you haven't had those things in the past, then you've definitely got to do performance measurement differently to how you've done it in the past. So process thinking is quite an important aspect of that. Now, we have heaps of new people listening to this webcast today, and some of you will know me and some of you won't. So just as a way of courtesy to those of you who don't know me, I'll give you a little brief background about who I am. Who's this chick, Stacey Barr? Why is she talking about performance measurement? Why should we be listening to her? And then we'll start getting into the content. So my background is as a statistician, okay? That's where I started, and who knows why. I think it was just a natural affinity for mathematics. It was the one subject in school I never had to study for. It just made sense to me, and so I went to university and continued that, and really it was just quite an organic process. I just ended up in a role where I was a research statistician. But it didn't take long, just over three years before I got really bored with that. The thing I was fascinated with, though, was how to systematize the analysis of information, of data, to turn it into information and knowledge that informs decision making. And I was really interested in how people interact with that process, because as a research statistician, I was churning out numbers and analyses all over the place, for things like boat ramp usage or the economic impact of the Indy Grand Prix on the Gold Coast, and just really strange and varied research topics. But I was always fascinated with how people used the information that we produced for them, or how they really didn't use it all that well. And that interested me much more than sitting at the computer doing analyses. So I took an opportunity to work in Queensland Rail as their measurement consultant, and there I discovered what performance measurement was all about, had wonderful opportunities to really develop into that space, and I really call myself now a performance measurement specialist, a performance measurement practitioner, because that is the focus of everything that I do. I started out consulting for about 7 years, but wanted to have a bigger reach, and that's why I love doing these sorts of things with you now, because I can talk to, well, literally hundreds of you in 1 hour, whereas before I could really, with consulting, it's all one-on-one. So most of my work now is as a mentor and coach and teacher rather than a consultant. I love the idea of a network. And you know what? Back in my QR days, I'm not sure if any of you feel this way. Let me know if you do. But back in my QR days, I felt quite lonely being the performance measurement consultant in that organization, the only one. And I didn't know how to reach out to my colleagues in that company, let alone in the rest of the country, in Australia, or the rest of the world. I just didn't know how to build a network of people that understood what I did, and so that we could support each other. So that's my real passion now, is to connect us. So know that you're sitting here right now live with me, listening with hundreds of other performance measurement practitioners just like you all over the world. I think that's just so powerful. And that's really who I see my target market now. I mean, these are the people I want to help. You're probably a strategic planner, or maybe you're a business analyst. You might be working as a process or quality professional. You might be a manager or executive who has a particular passion for measuring and tracking your way to success. You could be working in IT and business intelligence. You could be a finance officer. But the thing we all have in common is that we're passionate about measuring what matters and making that process easy and engaging for people. So that's very much what we're going to be doing today, is just getting one more tool for our toolkit to help us move our colleagues closer to good performance measurement, to help them make the decision that investing time and energy and resources into performance measurement is most definitely worthwhile, and it won't be at all boring and exhausting like their failed attempts in the past. So conversation is a very important part of engagement, and today's topic is very much about getting a conversation going with your colleagues, a conversation that acknowledges exactly where people are right now with their views of performance measurement and helps them move beyond that, okay? So moving beyond their current view and understanding of what is performance measurement, how they feel about it, what they think about it, to a completely fresh perspective that's much more exciting. So hang around and stay with me on this webcast. If you consider yourself to be something of a performance measurement practitioner, that you're passionate about performance, that you're currently struggling to some degree with buy-in and engagement, and you're also struggling to get the resources that you need, whether it's for continuing your own professional development in performance measurement, you might want some training, or to get the resources that you need to implement performance measurement properly like you know it should. So if this sounds like you, you are totally in the right place. And what you will end up with at the end of this webcast is a simple step-by-step tool that you'll find people will enjoy, they'll feel curious about, and it's going to help them see more clearly how performance measurement is a process, not an event, a process that can be improved and can be absolutely worth their time and energy. Now, when you do use this technique with your colleagues and you start getting them moving on the idea of performance measurement and more engaged with it, I'm going to share with you at the end of the webcast a few options for how you can make sure the implementation of performance measurement is as easy, quick, and successful as it can be, not a repeat of their bad experiences in the past and their failed attempts in trying to measure what matters. So you do have the option of sticking around a bit longer with me today if you want to learn what these options are, but I'm not going to make you do that. It's all up to you. All right, so let us start getting into the live experience where we can together create the mind map. Now, one more little reminder for you. For those of you listening live, you can use the Q&A box on the webcast page. And that's how you can answer my questions today. Just type in your responses in there. They're going to come through to me on a dashboard, so I will be able to collate them. There's quite a lot of you joining me live today. I'm not sure that I'm going to be able to repeat back every single comment that comes through, but I will go through later and add them all to the mind map and send a copy of that mind map to you. Firstly, let's talk about the structure of the mind map. Now, some of you will, hopefully most of you, will have the template that I prepared for you in front of you. If you don't, you want to quickly grab a blank piece of paper and a pen, and in the very center of the blank piece of paper, draw a circle, and inside the circle, you know, just make the circle big enough just to fit a few words in it. The words I want you to put in there are performance measurement diagnosis. Performance measurement diagnosis. So that's the center of your mind map, and you want to put 8 branches going out, like reaching out of that center. So it'll look like performance measurement diagnosis is the hub of a wheel, and then you're drawing some spokes going out. Now, number those spokes 1 through 8, and that's all I want you to do at this point. Okay? Actually, I've just got a little comment coming through saying, could I speak a little louder? What I might do is increase my volume a little bit. That might help. So there we go. Hopefully that's going to be a bit better for you. If you do want me to increase my volume a little bit more than that, please feel more than welcome to send through a little note for me. So that was Amilcar in Mexico. Thank you for letting me know that. Okie doke. When you start building the mind map, you'll have that image that I've just described to you, or what that blank template looks like. You'll have that drawn up on a whiteboard, basically, in a meeting room with your colleagues. I'll elaborate on that a little bit more later. But what we're going to do now is start populating that mind map with your content, with your ideas. And the way to do that is I'm simply going to ask you a few different questions. And what you're going to do is respond to those questions right now, live with me, using the Q&A box that is on that webcast page. The questions that I want to ask, now you don't have to think about 1 to 8, okay? I'm going to tell you where to put the responses that I repeat back to you. But let's just get things going. I want you to answer this question for me right now. You could submit as many as you want to. That's fine. Every time you submit a comment in the Q&A box, it will just come back with your comment's been submitted. Click to submit another comment. So you just have to click the button again. The question is, what frustrates you about measuring performance? What frustrates you about measuring performance? Another question you might like to consider answering, which is a little bit different, what challenges are you experiencing with measuring performance? So that's what challenges are you experiencing with measuring performance? You can answer any or all of these questions. It's up to you. Another question is, why do people avoid performance measurement activities? Why do people avoid performance measurement activities? And a final prompting question for you, why aren't you getting great value from your performance measures? Why are you not getting great value from your performance measures? Okay, so they're the questions to start answering right now. And as your comments start coming in, I'll share some of them back to you, and I'm going to tell you where to put them on the mind map, so get your pens ready as well. Okay, let's see. Okay, the first one's coming from Kevin, and Kevin, you're saying balancing individual and team goals, balancing individual and team goals. Now, that one, I'm going to get you all, where's my template? There it is. I'm going to get you all to write that as an extra little branch that's going to come off branch number one. So you've got branch number one, and then you just draw another little branch that comes off the end of that one, and then write the words balancing individual and team goals. Now, do this quickly and in shorthand because we don't want to spend the whole time just me repeating things over and over again. I'm going to document this for you as well, but I want you to at least participate, like pick up a pen and get active with me, even if you miss some of the things that I'm going to repeat back. Erwin, oh, hi, Erwin. Nice to hear from you. Erwin's in LA, in the US, and Erwin's saying how it seems irrelevant to those asking for it. How it seems irrelevant to those asking for it. I'm going to put that on branch number 8, everybody. So you could say, I'll just repeat the words back again, how it seems irrelevant to those asking for it. So that goes on branch number 8. Let's see another comment coming through. Oh, there's heaps. This one's anonymous. Identifying what is truly critical. Now, I'm going to assume, if that's your comment, I'm going to assume that you mean identifying what is truly critical to measure. And we put that one on branch number 1. So identifying what is truly critical. Identifying what is truly critical. Lovely. Thank you. Bill in Atlanta, not knowing what is important. That one, I think, quite relates to the previous comment about identifying what is truly critical, you know, not knowing what is important. So if you prefer those words, everybody, from Bill, not knowing what is important, use those. But again, I would add that to branch number 1. P in the US, or Pia, I'm not quite sure how to pronounce your name, forgive me. Pretty though. I'll say Pia. Others not understanding the value. That one goes on branch number 8. We're already getting quite a lot coming through on just 2 of them, and I'll explain why that happens later as well. But on branch number 8, you can say others not understanding the value. I think everybody, as you're listening to these comments coming through, you'll start realizing just how much commonality you have in your experiences with performance measurement. You know, it's you're not alone. Linda in Dallas is saying no data for some performance or late information. Let's put that on branch number 2, and we'll say no data. Or and another one that you could put in, do a second branch here because there's really 2 in Linda's comment. The first branch off, sub-branch off branch number 2 would be no data, and the second one would be late information. Okay, so that's 2 sub-branches coming off branch number 2, no data and late information. Thanks, Linda. Neil in Brisbane. Hi, finally we have somebody in my hometown. Thanks, Neil. Yours is people don't want to be accountable. Let's put that one on number 7, branch number 7, everybody. Add people don't want to be accountable. People don't want to be accountable. Lovely. Next one. Marie in Sydney, no one takes it seriously. Nobody takes it seriously. There might be 2 places this could go, and I'm going to let you guys make the choice, and it'll be a random choice. It really doesn't matter. You'll find that this mind map, sometimes you can think, oh, here's a comment, and it could go really anywhere. It doesn't matter where you put it. Just put it somewhere. For this one, I'm going to put it on branch number 8, no one takes it seriously. No one takes performance measurement seriously. All right, great. Thanks, Marie. Next one comes from Bill. The challenge is in getting data. So, again, that would go on branch number 2. You can put another sub-branch there and just say getting data. Next comment comes from Andy in Canada. Avoid too much work. They don't like the math. Let's put this on branch number 4. Don't like the math. So that goes on branch number 4 as a sub-branch. Don't like the math. Another one, this one's anonymous. They avoid it because they haven't really thought through what they are trying to achieve. Lovely. I would put that one back on branch number one, because it really relates to identifying what's truly critical. But let's put it as a separate one, because it's nice to see the different words and phrases people can use. So let's say it's a bit long, that one, so I might try and shorten it for you. Haven't thought through what they're trying to achieve. So that's what you can write down there. Haven't thought through what they're trying to achieve. Great. Next one, Colin in Calgary. Management wants to quantify the unquantifiable as their KPI. Again, I would put that on branch number one. There is a reason, everybody, let me just remind you, why some of these branches have so many more comments on them than others. And I'll summarise that for you later. So management wants to quantify the unquantifiable. Let's just put as a sub-branch off branch number one, quantify the unquantifiable. Now, when you do this for your teams, you may want to use a bit of shorthand and just write down the keywords that come off each of these branches, just to save the time. You want this part of the session or the exercise that you do with your client, with your teams, to be relatively quick, between 15 and 20 minutes. Now, we're doing this with hundreds of people, with lots of comments coming through. So you're not going to be doing that. You're going to be doing that with a much smaller group, so it should happen a lot quicker. Now, just a little reminder for anybody listening by phone, if you don't have access to the Q&A box on the webcast page, if you don't have access to the webcast page and you want to make a contribution, just hit *2 on your phone keypad and it will raise your hand here and I'll be able to unmute you and you can share your comment live. Okay, back to our inputs coming from you guys. Peter in Melbourne. Hi, Peter. Nice to hear from you. Nice to know you're out there. You're saying frustration, creating meaningful measures instead of meaningless statistics. So let's put that on, again, branch number one. Meaningless statistics could be the little keywords that you choose there. Thanks, Pete. Chris in Belgium. We really are having people all over the world. This is great. A lack of commitment to try the measure, says Chris. The challenges are more about people having fear to start because of no knowledge. On branch number eight, everybody, that would go there. Lack of commitment and fear. You could have two sub-branches coming off number eight there. Fear and lack of commitment. I'm sure if your page is filling up anything like mine, you're going to be running out of space real soon. Carol in Canada, frustration, lack of interest from senior management. Again, that's something that I would put on branch number eight. Measures looking backwards instead of helping to plan forwards. That one I would put on branch, you could put this one on six or seven. Let's put it on six. Branch number six, add another sub-branch, and let's say measures look backward, not forward. That's just a little summary of that particular contribution there. Bill, challenge is nobody wants to be accountable for the numbers that result. So, again, we had attached a similar comment to branch seven for that one, and Bill, that's where I'd put it, on branch number seven. People don't want to be accountable. Scott in Oregon, finding metrics that are meaningful to supervisor and are easy to collect the data. There's two there, Scott. Your first one about meaningful to the supervisor I would put on branch number one, and the bit about being easy to collect the data would go on branch number two. I bet you are already starting to see what the branches are meaning. And I know we haven't used some of them, but irrespective, I'll explain what they mean too. Lindsay in Canada, people saying that the indicators don't fit what they do, but then they aren't willing to work towards common indicators. There's a bit of a combination there between branch one and eight. So on branch number one, I'd put people saying that the indicators don't fit what they do. And then on branch number eight, I'd say not willing to work towards common indicators. So thanks, Lindsay. This one's anonymous. I wish I knew who you were. You're a person after my own heart. People thinking milestones are measures. I so agree with you. That is a big problem. Milestones are what we use to track our progress through a project. Measures are what we use to tell us if the project's making a difference or if any of our activities and processes indeed are making a difference. So that would go on branch number one, people thinking milestones are measures. These comments just keep on coming. Again, forgive me if I've got your name pronounced wrong, but Dara, I think, in Ireland, the frustration is ensuring stated policy or strategy is actually reflected in the metrics. That's a big one for branch number one. Matt in Pittsburgh, frustration, a lack of clear goals to measure against. That goes on branch number one as well, a lack of clear goals to measure against. Clarissa, g'day. I'm glad you're there live. Clarissa is in Brisbane. Manual data collection and breakdown of information. Clarissa, I'll bet you know already that that goes on branch number two. Manual data collection and breakdown of information. That would be branch number two. Actually, the breakdown of information, depending on what you mean, Clarissa, that could even go on number three. So if what you mean by breakdown of information is how do we actually get in and access the information that we need at the level of detail that we want and to be able to sort of have that data prepared in a way that's ready for us to use, I would put that on number three. So if anyone wants to pretend that that's what Clarissa meant by breakdown of information, you could put that on branch number three. Chris, again, people choosing the wrong unit of measure, work orders instead of craft hours. Put that one on branch number four. So this is about choosing the wrong unit of measure, branch number four for that one. And that's really got to do with the calculation of your measure, like how are you calculating it at the right level? Like are you counting up work orders or should you be counting up hours? So different calculations can be used for one single measure, and if you don't know which calculation's being used, you get very confused with what the measure's actually saying to you. Thanks, Chris. Someone's saying, could I repeat some of the questions that I want you to consider? Really brilliant idea, so I'll do that again for those of you who have forgotten the questions that I asked you. I'll go through them just quickly. What frustrates you about measuring performance? What challenges are you experiencing with measuring performance? Why do people avoid performance measurement activities? And why aren't we getting great value from our performance measures? So those are the questions, just as a little reminder. Next comments from Andy in Canada. Frustration, lack of interest by non-participants. I'd pop that one onto branch number eight, Andy, lack of interest by non-participants. And I think what you're meaning there, and correct me if I'm wrong, Andy, but it's that, you know, you might have a group of core people, like your measures team, that's really involved in choosing the measures and calculating them and getting them into reports and things like that. But there are a lot of people that don't get that hands-on involvement in the measurement process, and they can be really disinterested in it. So that's a really important key. That goes on branch number eight, lack of interest by non-participants. Fearing the unknown. Ooh, again, a branch number eight comment, that one. People don't know what they don't know, and it worries them. Graham in New South Wales, frustration, timeliness and availability of data sets to make decisions. Graham, I would pop that on branch number two and possibly I'd put timeliness on branch number two, timeliness of data, and availability of data I'd possibly put on branch number three. So that's what I would suggest there. So timeliness of data on branch number two and availability of data on branch number three. Thanks, Graham. Carol, takes too much time and effort. Let's put that one on branch number eight. too much time and effort, because that can really apply to all different types of activities in the measurement process. So too much time and effort. Now, one thing I will say to you now is when you are doing this exercise with your team, a small team, usually you're probably only going to do this with people, you know, maybe 6 to 12 people or maybe a few more, but generally that's most often the case, you'll find when you naturally reach a point where the ideas start running low, okay, where people aren't suggesting anything more, and that's your cue when to stop. Now, I can't use that cue today because the comments keep coming. With this many people participating, I'm really just taking myself probably for another 4 minutes, and that will give us at least a start. But irrespective of whether we stop there and we either have got your comment or we haven't and discussed it live, it doesn't matter. They're all coming through anyway, so all of the comments will be collated and put on the mind map that you get a copy of. So don't worry, you haven't contributed in vain. Bill, in Atlanta, what do I do with the measure when I see it? This is on branch number 7. What do I do with the measure when I see it? That goes on branch number 7. What have we not? We haven't got anything on branch number 5 yet. That's okay. I think... Well, we'll wait until we'll see. Maybe we'll get some in the next couple of minutes. Erwin, people who cannot say how they would act differently if the measure was high or low. That goes on to branch number 7. So let's summarise, Erwin, what you've said and say actions to take. And we'll put that on branch number 7. So actions to take. And it's a little bit similar to the comment just before about what would we do with the measures. Bill in Sacramento, assessing organizational readiness. Oh, wow. Here's the first. Oh, no, I put this on branch number 8. I was going to say here's the first one that doesn't fit anywhere. But assessing organizational readiness to do performance measurement, I think, Bill, is what you might be talking about there. So I would put that on branch number 8. I wonder if you guys can hear those birds out the window there. It's the magpie baby, and it's demanding from its parent to feed it. Kathleen in Pennsylvania, the data isn't actionable. Again, that probably relates to number 7 on our mind map. So the data is not actionable. Oh, listen to that wildlife. Good grief. I might have to shut the window in a second. They're screaming. I'm going to scan through some of these now and just start looking for a few different to what we've already got here. Pia, you're commenting again on disparate sources which don't communicate with each other, no unique keys. What you're talking about there is all of the different sources of data that you have and how you, because often performance measures rely on bringing more than one set of data together to get your answers. You don't just go to one database usually to get all the data you need for a particular measure. So that here would go on to branch number 3, which is, and you could probably say data sources don't communicate. That would be a good summary for that. So data sources don't communicate. We'll give this another minute and then we'll start going into wrapping this up a little bit, and I'll explain more at the big picture level. You know, how do you introduce this to your team, then facilitating, and then how do you debrief it? How do you make sense of this mind map with your team once you've actually done it? Just scanning through here, so many comments. Wow. This is so cool. There's people from all over the world live. It's great. Graham, you're saying a fear of reflecting poor performance. Let's put that one on branch number 6, a fear of reflecting poor performance, because the emphasis I'm going to have here is how we actually look at our data and interpret it. So fear of reflecting poor performance will go on branch number 6. Again, let me remind you, there's no one true way of where these comments go. when I explain to you the meaning of each of these branches and give you some tips for how you can get very comfortable and familiar with the meaning of each branch, you'll then decide where people's comments can fit. And it, honestly, it doesn't matter if it's not 100% the way Stacey Barr would have done it. Let's see if there's anything new. Systems to collate the data. Again, that would go on branch number 3. No one prepared to take action based on the performance results would go on branch number 7. People may be realizing the measuring. This is Chris in Belgium. Maybe realizing the measuring, but they do not know how to read and understand them. That goes on to branch number 5. Finally, we've got one for branch number 5. Thank you, Chris. So how to read and understand measures. Let's put that on branch number 5. How to read and understand measures. Or that, because we're listing problems with performance measure, it would be people can't read and understand the measures. Oh, Donna, thank you for letting me know where the milestone comment came from. You're in San Francisco Bay Area. You're a lucky woman. How to report them and how often? Cindy in Sacramento. That also goes on branch number 5. How to report and how often? Branch number 5, everybody. How to report and how often? Buago in Botswana, you're saying not finding meaningful formulas for data analysis. That would go onto branch number 4. So let's put down meaningful formulas on branch number 4. So you can see, like if we kept going, there's still over 20 contributions from you all in the queue, and we're just not going to get to them all. So we're going to hit the pause button there. And I'll collate those later on and add them to the mind map. But my page is already full with everything that you've contributed so far. And admittedly, it's messy, but I will type it up and make it nice and neat for you. So we've touched on every branch that is in that performance measurement mind map. And we're now going to go through and look at what are each of those branches, what do they each mean. I'm pretty sure you're curious about that. And that's really what you want your clients to, or your clients or your team, whoever the people are that you're doing this with, that's how you want them to feel as well. Make sure that when you're adding their comments to the mind map, you don't reveal what the branches mean, okay? That's really important because it helps keep the curiosity going, the engagement. People will naturally be sort of sitting there thinking and trying to figure out what they mean for themselves, and some of them will. Like, for example, straight away, those of you who have made a decent amount of notes against branch number 8, you'll know that that's got to do with people and their engagement in performance measurement. So that's everything to do with how people feel about measurement. It's the soft side of measurement. Branch number 1, let's start talking about that now. And I'll take you through each branch one at a time to help you understand what it's about. And I'll also be emailing you some information later with a little download that sort of has this in writing so that you've got a bit of a description of the model here. Grab your pen. I'm going to give you a word to label each of the branches with around the mind map. Branch number 1. Use the word select. That's select, S-E-L-E-C-T, as in selecting what to measure. Okay, so branch number 1 is select. Branch number 2 is collect, C-O-L-L-E-C-T, collect. And that is to do with the data collection. Branch number 3 is... just gone over to the caller list just to see who's got a question. If you still have a question, I think this call is in Portland, so if you have if you still have your question, can I get you to raise your hand just one more time? I'm not sure if I've just cleared that, so that if you do want to ask that question again, or make that contribution again, just hit star 2 on your keypad once more. Sorry, I got carried away with all the webcast comments that were coming through. doesn't look like it so far. That's fine. I'll check again in a moment. All right, we're up to branch number 3, and what I want you to put there is the word store, S-T-O-R-E, store. That is for how data is stored or how it's managed so that you can get access to it. Branch number 4 is analyze. Analyze, A-N-A-L-Y-S-E, analyze, and that is really about turning raw performance data into the values of your performance measures. Branch number 5, write the word present, P-R-E-S-E-N-T, present, and this is the way measures are communicated or reported or displayed so that people can easily interpret and use them and make sense of them. Branch number 6 is interpret. Interpret, I-N-T-E-R-P-R-E-T, interpret. And this is how, when we're looking at a graph or a performance measure, how we decide what it's really telling us. Is it telling us things are getting better, getting worse, staying the same? And branch number 7 is apply, A-P-P-L-Y, apply. And it's how measures get applied in our decision making or put to use to improve performance. Branch number 8, buy-in, B-U-Y, I-N, buy-in, which is how people feel about performance measurement and getting them actually valuing it and wanting to be involved with it. So there are your 8 branches. Select, collect, store, analyze, present, interpret, apply, and buy-in. Where does this come from? Where did these magic 8 branches come from, you might be asking? Well, they work for me, okay, because this is the way I've thought about performance measurement for probably the last 15 years or so. Back in my QR days, I created a methodology back then, which is now called PUMP, and it is my framework for what the performance measurement process needs to involve, the key activities in the performance measurement process. And that's what the 1 to 7 are. They're the steps in PUMP. Number 8, the buy-in branch, is really something that kind of weaves its way through the entire performance measurement process. So with the measurement process, if you like, you've got to think not only about the technical aspects of each of it, you know, how exactly do you make a goal measurable? How do you decide which goals are worth measuring? How do you design a meaningful measure? How do you articulate the data that you really need for your performance measures? How do you decide what the computation or meaningful formula is for your performance measure? How do you design a graph that helps you focus on what is really happening with performance? How do you communicate your performance measures? What other information goes with them when you report them? How do you look at a graph and decide, is it going up, is it going down? Is the trend really a trend, or is it just normal variation? How do you get your performance measures integrated into a conversation that drives performance improvement? Those technical questions certainly have to be dealt with in the measurement process, no doubt. But branch number 8 is there to remind us that there's a social dimension that has to get addressed at every one of those steps in the performance measurement process as well. And it's very much to do with how we talk about measurement with people, how we involve them, and how we allow them the space to learn and make the process their own and not something that's being done to them. So PUMP is the name for that process. For those of you who are familiar with the performance measure blueprint, and I run the 2-day performance measure blueprint workshop and also have the performance measure blueprint audio program, it is actually based on PUMP. It's the implementation process for PUMP, but I won't go into that with you now. The idea is that when you have a framework or a model for your performance measurement process and you use a methodology like PUMP, now it doesn't have to be, okay, I'm not here to force feed you PUMP, but it's the only one I can talk about because it's the only one I'm aware of that actually goes down to this level of depth in the design of the measurement process, where the problems happen, everybody. That's where the problems happen, and you have to be able to see that level of detail in the measurement process to fix the problems. And, you know, the whole idea is the techniques in PUMP make it quick and easy to develop meaningful measures. Helps you, and the way the process is designed, it also helps you get movement, so you're not just always staying at step number 1 until you've got the perfect measures. You can't do that. You've got to get reasonably good measures and then go to step 2 and step 3 and step 4 and step 5, often all the way through to step 7 before you can really know that you have the right measures. Each one of those steps acts like a funnel that helps you refine and tailor and consolidate your set of measures right up to the point where you're putting into practice and using or applying the measures that you find are the most useful. You don't stay at step one until it's perfect. That's probably one mistake some of you will be making. Let's not do anything until we've decided what the perfect measures are. You will be there forever. Okay, so that's where you, that's the kind of thinking or framework you want to have in your head when you are doing this mind map exercise, is to know what branch one's really all about and to be able to recognize people's comments that relate to the selection of measures. And likewise with step two, it's to do with a collection of data. So any comments about data quality or data availability or not so much access to data, but the existence of the data or the timeliness of it, that's going to go on branch number two. Branch number three, store, that's where you're going to put anything to do with how easily we can wrangle the data out of our databases and systems, how well our database systems communicate with each other so that you can pull out that cross-functional data that's almost always what you need for good performance measures. Branch number four, analyze. That's everything to do with how you calculate the values of your measures, how you turn the raw data into the information that tells you what performance is actually doing, and that includes your performance measures as well as any supplementary analysis you might do, like drill down analysis or diagnostic analysis or cause analysis. Branch number five, present, is all about how you design graphs so that they really do help decision makers, not just a pie chart because it looks pretty. I'm actually going to Stephen Few's workshop next week in Sydney, his visual business intelligence workshop, and that's going to be amazing because it's all about step five, you know. How do you present performance information so that it's really, really powerful and useful, easy to use, and very, very engaging. Branch number six, interpret. This has everything to do with when somebody looks at a graph, how do they know that performance is really improving or declining? And it's not just comparing this month to last month. That is a huge risk. It's really got to be about good time series analysis, good trend analysis, looking for the statistically significant differences in the performance trend, not just a difference that's there numerically. Just because this month is better than last month doesn't mean performance is better. It just means it was different to last month. It could mean that last month was particularly bad and this month is normal. I mean, you've really got to watch out for that. So anything to do with how people decide from their measures what's actually happening, that goes on branch six. Branch seven, apply, has everything to do with the way people put measures into use, taking action from measures, knowing what areas of performance they need to improve as a result of what their measures are telling them, taking accountability for performance results, not so much for performance results, but for doing everything they can to improve those results. That's probably more what we want people to be accountable for. And branch number eight, the buy-in, has everything to do with people's fear about measurement, their lack of willingness to give time to it, their inability to understand why it's relevant or important to them, taking it seriously, concerns about how much time and effort goes into it. All of those things go on branch number eight. So I hope that has given you a really thorough understanding of how the mind map works. I'm just going to look for some of your questions right now because I can see a few coming through. So we might just take a quick break to look at those. What is the difference between analyze and interpret? Really good example here is to say that analysis is what you do with the raw data. So it's after you've extracted the data from your systems, this is where you're calculating the values of your performance measures. It's where you are calculating trend lines. It's where you're maybe doing even more detailed analysis like drill downs, like creating little bar charts of the major causes of the performance results that you're getting so far. It's very much the playing with the numbers side of it. Interpret, on the other hand, is once the graph and the analysis is produced and beautiful and right in front of you, interpret is about saying, well, what's that telling me? So analyze turns data into information. Interpret turns information into implication. I hope that helps. So analyze turns data into information and interpret turns information into implication. I hope that helps you there. Another question, are eight lines a magic number or can it be virtually any reasonable number? Well, Grant, it kind of can be. any reasonable number, but it's got to be based on something, some framework that you have. I mean, I've chosen 8 because it's based on the 7 activities that are in my PUMP approach to performance measurement, or the 7 activities that I see are distinct and specific and deliberate in any performance measurement process. So, well, that's 7 of those, and 8 is really just picking up the buy-in thing. But if you try and play with something else or try to be ad hoc or random about it, Grant, you'll find that you end up with a map that is messy and it's very hard to debrief. And maybe this will become clearer when we actually go to the next step just in a minute of how to talk about this result, this mind map once it's done, how to make sense of it and how to use it to get your team to think about what actions they really want to take toward better performance measurement. Let's see, another question. Francois, hi. I'm glad you're out there too joining live. How can we get buy-in before step one? Well, this mind map activity is a part of that, Francois. It's just that getting a conversation started about performance measurement. So if somebody is complaining about not hitting a goal, or they're complaining about a problem that keeps recurring, or they're saying, oh, we've got to get performance measurement done, it's a mandate now, oh my God, we're going to have to do something about it, listen out for those sorts of comments, because they're a trigger that you could actually find it useful to introduce this activity to them. So this activity in and of itself is one way to get buy-in before step one, before you actually get people looking at their goals and designing their measures. It's getting them talking about performance measurement, but only in relation to a comment that they've raised, something that's already relevant to them. And like I said before, it could be a goal they're not achieving, it could be a problem that keeps recurring, like a particular type of customer complaint coming up all the time, or a certain type of activity that's always going over budget or always taking too long. Or it could be a mandate, like we have to have performance measures, which is happening a lot now. And I know in New South Wales, the local government, I'm talking to a client just yesterday, there is a mandate now for local government all throughout New South Wales to have performance measures. They just have to do it. And, you know, that they don't have the buy-in, they don't have the processes, they don't necessarily know how to go about doing it in a way that's going to be very engaging and cost-effective. So for them, that mandate is the very trigger for being able to use a mind map conversation like this to help people get really clear about why hasn't measurement worked in the past, what are the problems with it, what can we do differently. Okay, Matt, we'll take, oh, you're in Pittsburgh, but you were Adelaide. Oh, cool. Nice to hear from you, Matt. So far, mind map building relates to issues with performance measurement. How do we apply mind mapping technique to identify key performance indicators for various business or services? Matt, I would suggest you don't use this mind mapping technique to identify key performance indicators. That's not its purpose. This mind map activity is specifically about building buy-in and getting people engaged, getting people warmed up to even talking about developing better performance measures. The techniques of PUMP that sit under step one there, the select branch, the techniques that that PUMP offers in that space, they help you identify the key performance indicators that you need. So let's separate this. This mind map technique is not about how to develop measures. It's about how to get people warmed up to want to develop better measures, okay, by doing a diagnosis or an analysis of how they feel about measurement now and helping them move to a space where measurement is much more engaging and meaningful and exciting for them. Now, one more question come through is, after completing the mind map, what's next? Do we address each of the comments or ideas? Let's get onto that right away. It's not about addressing each of the comments individually. Once they're there, what they've done is they've formed a pattern. And the pattern that they've formed is based around those 8 steps. So the very first thing you do once you've captured everybody's ideas on the map, the very next thing that you do is explain what each of those branches mean and highlight the pattern. The pattern that you want to pick up here is that this is really worth listening to. The pattern you want to pick up at the end of the mind mapping exercise is that all of the comments that your team have contributed all hint at breakdowns in the current performance measurement process they're using. All of the comments that they've got there hint at breakdowns in the steps in the performance measurement process they're using. So where you have got the most amount of comments, and for us today, it's on branch number 1 and branch number 8, that's suggesting that for you guys at least, most of the breakdown in your performance measurement process is getting people engaged and interested in it and having a decent approach for how to choose measures that matter. Right at the very front end of the measurement process, that's where most of your comments have fallen. So that's what you're doing. You're picking out that pattern. Where in our performance measurement process is the breakdown happening? Now, for other organizations, it could be that the biggest breakdown is in apply on branch number 7. You know, we've got all this great performance information. The reports are really good. Everyone's got a dashboard. They're all happy with it, but nobody knows what to do next. Nobody knows how to get those measures driving performance improvement. If most of your comments are around that branch number 7, that's the diagnosis of where you're at. That's where you would start looking at improving your performance measurement process. And again, PUMP's got techniques to help you do that. So this is the discussion that you want to have. Where in our performance measurement process are we weakest? Where do we need to give our attention? And because it's a process, it can be improved. That's a really important thing to raise, is that performance measurement is a process, therefore it can be improved. We don't have to do it the way we've always done it in the past. Okay, I'm kind of jumping around a little bit just based on your questions here. Because we're talking about sort of what you do at the end of the mind mapping exercise, I'll keep talking about that and then I'll come back to remind you how to actually introduce this technique for your team. By the time you've filled out a whole lot of comments around those branches, your team should be quite curious about it. And that's what you want. That's a really good indicator that the mind mapping activity is working, is if they're feeling very curious. The next indicator that it's working is if once you've identified the pattern and said, you know, this is suggesting that we're really breaking down in our performance measurement process here at the point where we are selecting performance measures, because we've got most of our comments there, and over there, wherever it is for you, where we've got lots of other comments. Their curiosity then is, well, so what do we do? What do we do? How can we fix those problems? That's when you need to be prepared with a few options for them. And being very familiar with PUMP is a really good option to have, because it helps you talk more about, well, if we're really breaking down on branch number 1, then there's a few things that we probably need to get good at doing. One of the things we need to get better at doing is making our strategy, our goals, our objectives more measurable, because they're too full of weasel words, like vague language that doesn't really say anything to anybody. And if 7 people read that goal statement, they'd have 19 different interpretations of what it could mean. That's one thing we need to fix, and there's a PUMP technique to help you fix that. Another thing that we need to get better at the select stage would be to stop brainstorming our measures, because all we end up with is rubbish. We need to actually use a deliberate measure design process, something that steps us through the right kind of thinking to start with our goal that we want to measure and end up with the best 1 or 2 measures for that goal. There is a technique to do that. So it's raising that awareness that it's not random and ad hoc. Performance measurement isn't random and ad hoc. And for the most part, we never learn how to do it properly. This is about how to do it properly. There are techniques to solve these problems, and what you're doing is raising awareness of those techniques. So that is the point at which you'll start talking about what those options could be, and I'm going to address that shortly for those of you who want to hang around and hear them. But before I do that, let's go back and address a little bit more of what to do when you're introducing this activity to your team. So I know I'm moving around a little bit here, and you can just hopefully be thankful that I'm going to send you the instructions for how to do this mind map exercise in a little report, but you also have the recording of this so you can listen again if you want to fine tune your understanding of it. Like I mentioned before, when Francois asked that question about how do you get people involved before step 1, you want to look for that opportunity to suggest doing this mind map exercise. And that was things like they're constantly complaining about a goal they're not achieving, or there's a problem that keeps coming up, a performance issue that they just can't get on top of, or there's some sort of mandate. They know they've got to do measurement. So suggest doing a quick diagnosis of how measurement's done at the moment. And what people will like is getting all the stuff off their chest about what they hate about measurement. That's another good thing about this mind map exercise. It gets people talking from the energy that they've already got. And the energy most people already have is measurement's boring, measurement takes up too much of my time, it's not worthwhile, it's not valuable to me. If you can tap into that energy and get it all dumped out onto a mind map, you've created space inside of people to have a fresh perspective and to feel differently about it. I don't know why it works, it just seems to. So get their agreement to do this. Bring them into a room. You're probably going to need half an hour, probably, maybe a little more, a little less, depending on how big your team is. Get a whiteboard or a flip chart and produce that, like draw that basic mind map template up on the whiteboard where you've got the center with performance measurement diagnosis in it and just the eight branches numbered 1 through 8, and start asking those questions that I asked you before. What frustrates you about measuring performance? What challenges are you experiencing with measuring performance? Why do people avoid performance measurement activities? Why aren't we getting great value from performance measures? You could think up some of your own questions too if you wanted. Just don't vary too far from those that I've given you, or you'll end up making this mind map exercise about something much broader than it really should be. And when it's too broad, it loses its power and usefulness. By the way, if anyone's got a suggestion for another kind of prompting question that you'd like to share, stick it in the webcast Q&A box, and I'll repeat them back. So if you have any additional prompting questions, feel free to put them in. Now, I notice we've just reached top of the hour again, and on account of having so many more people join the webcast than I had expected, we're going to go just a little over time. So if you need to rush off to a meeting, I understand. You can come back and listen to the recording later and pick up the last bit. But for those of you who'd like to hang around, that would be wonderful. Let's go back to some of your questions. I can see a whole bunch coming through more. So when you ask the initial questions, do you need to frame their answers as at this company or so they don't brainstorm generic issues? Yes, I think that's a very wise thing to do. So if your company is Peabody Enterprises, then you could say, at Peabody Enterprises, what really frustrates you about measuring performance, or what frustrates you about measuring Peabody's performance? You know, you can definitely tailor it to your company. That's very important because that's where they are now. That's where you want them to improve their measurement process. So analyze that measurement process, the one at your current company. Blago, you've got a comment here. You've touched on making sense of the numbers. That's one of the big frustrations. We tend to fall naturally into using percentages for nearly every... Oh, do we? What? Every performance measure is a percentage. It doesn't have to be. It can be an average, a ratio. It can be all sorts of things. So really, that's a good point to flag. So that relates to branch number 4, the analyze step in pump. Stephen, couldn't a lack of contributions on a branch also point to a potential breakdown? You know what? It actually could. Like I've said that where there are lots and lots of comments about a branch on the mind map, that means you've got a breakdown in your performance measurement process. But if there's one that's not getting anything at all on there, it could be that people just don't understand it. There could actually be a breakdown in there, that it's not being done well enough, or it's not being done at all, or people just don't get it. So definitely, Stephen, I think that they're wise words. Look out for that. Henry is saying, when I send the final map, will I send the questions? Yes, I will make a note to do that. I'll send you those prompting questions. Okay, good. Just writing that note down for myself. Okay. Great. Let's see. Just going through, there's a few people that had to leave on the hour just saying thank you and see you later. Oh, Virgilio in Caracas, thank you very much for that feedback. That was really lovely of you. Peter in Melbourne, would you recommend using the mind map before the start of the pump framework? I think it's a good idea as you will know which area needs more work. Actually, yes, Peter, when I usually use this mind map exercise is when I have my very first meeting with a new client and they're really just exploring, you know, can I help them? What kind of approach would I use? Does it resonate with them? And when I train my pump certified pump practitioners, I teach them to do this at the very first session they have with their team as well. So it's part of what we do before we even get into the first step of PUMP, which is about making your strategy measurable. So I hope that helps, Peter. Scott in Oregon, please explain what the P in PUMP is, the U, etc. Oh, I always get asked this. I should just say by default, PUMP's a nickname. When I created this methodology, I called it the performance measurement process. Everything was about the balanced scorecard, which is a framework, not a process, or it wasn't then anyway. And it wasn't a process that helped you actually get to the nitty-gritty of designing and establishing and implementing your performance measures. So I was big on this idea of performance measurement process. I still am very big on this idea of performance measurement process. So the PMP, that's what that stands for, performance measurement process. But try and say that a lot of times over and over again in a workshop. It's just too cumbersome. So one of my clients nicknamed it just PUMP, just fell out of her mouth. And it kind of stuck. It just sort of, I don't know, maybe it's that very action word, you know, PUMP, you know, pump up your performance, who knows. I asked her what the U stands for, and she said, because it's up to you. And she's kind of right. You really do need to get people seeing that they own the measurement process, and it is up to them to make it work. It's not just going to happen. So that's what PUMP's all about. All right, so that does it for the questions at this stage. Lovely. What I might start doing is getting into some of the options that you can take your team through for how they can improve their performance measurement process. Because if you've done this mind map activity and you've got those indicators that it's working well, in other words, they were curious about what it meant and they also felt that it really resonated with them and that they understood the idea that performance measurement is a process and that they can see very obviously where it's breaking down and they can improve it because there are techniques to improve those problems or solve those problems, then they're probably now ready to say, well, what do we do? What next? How do we handle this? Don't let them try to reinvent the wheel. If they try and come up with ideas for how they can improve their measurement process, it's very likely they're just coming from the same frame of thinking they've always had in the past, which led to the very problems they're experiencing right now. They really need to think differently about measurement and see it as a process and understand the key success factors at each step in the process. So let me tell you a little bit more about PUMP and how you can learn more about it. Firstly, the quickest and easiest way to learn more about it is to, I'll give you the URL now, or you can wait for me to send it to you, or both. But it's a 2 or 3, I can't remember how many pages is in it. It's just a document that tells you about PUMP. So just an opportunity for you to read more about it, study up, get familiar with how you'd, you know, be able to explain each of the branches on the mind map. And it also alludes to some of the techniques that you can master to improve the measurement process. So the URL is stacybarr.com, stacybarr.com/about-pump.pdf. So that's stacybarr.com/about-pump.pdf. And you can get more information about it there. But two ways that I can help you, okay? I mean, maybe you won't turn to me for help, who knows? But the ways that I can help you, there's a few. The first one is through the Performance Measure Blueprint workshop, because what that workshop teaches you is the exact techniques that solve the problems that mind map will reveal to you. So if people are saying things like, we don't know how to balance individual and team goals, we don't know how to identify what's truly critical, we haven't really thought through what we're trying to achieve, we can't really quantify the unquantifiable, all of those things are clues that you currently don't have a good process for articulating your strategy in measurable terms. And secondly, that you don't have a process for how to design meaningful measures beyond brainstorming or benchmarking. So in the Performance Measure Blueprint, we teach you the two techniques that solve that problem. So that's what the Blueprint workshop's about, is those techniques. But the Blueprint workshop is also about how you can design a project that takes you from go to woe, that takes you from step one all the way to step 7 in the mind map to get all of those steps in the measurement process done really well with the buy-in, or that branch number 8 on the mind map, with the buy-in integrated all the way along. So how do you get people to buy in to making their goals and strategy more measurable? Well, there's ways to do that. We use a results mapping technique, and it holds the space for a conversation, the kind of conversation people say, wow, if only we'd had this conversation years ago. We never get to have this kind of conversation. We're really clear now about what matters to us, what we're really trying to achieve, and what's worth measuring. And, you know, that's where you want to get them to, obviously. So the idea is that you and your colleagues at the Blueprint Workshop learn the techniques for how to improve your performance measurement process, and to apply that really quickly so that you get some great measures and great improvements. No other workshop that I've ever seen lays out the steps that way. If you've seen one that does, I'd love to know about it, so email me, please, info@stacybarr.com. But it gives you that detail for exactly how to make your strategy measurable, exactly how to design good measures, even for the seemingly immeasurable, how to implement your measures, how to get the calculations right and the data right, and how to display your measures, to report them in a really useful and engaging way, how to really interpret what they're saying and get people feeling excited about using their measures. It's all laid out in fun little mind maps that illustrate each technique for you, and also practical templates that give you that step-by-step process to follow and to use with your teams. We do these workshops in-house. Usually we'll probably only do one or two in-house workshops a month. So if you really want one, you'll want to let me know so that we can book you in. We're booked up through the end of March at this stage. And we also have public workshops, and this year we're having a go at sort of having a lot more than we normally do. We've got 10 scheduled this year. Half of them are in Australia and half of them are around the world. So if you go to performancemeasureblueprint.com, you can see where the workshops are and if there's one close to you. If you can't get to a live workshop, we have the audio program, which is a CD-based version of it. So you can always check that out too if you want to. The other option that you have, and this is only for some of you, because not all of you will be advanced enough yet or established formally enough in your role as a performance measurement practitioner to make this worthwhile, but it's the PUMP Practitioner Certification Program, and it really trains you and develops you, builds your capability and confidence as the performance measurement expert in your company or organization. And it's beyond the blueprint, okay? It's not just the blueprint's about how you do these techniques. The certification program is how you can facilitate and lead and teach these techniques in your organization. So it steps you up a level. It's a brilliant career option, a brilliant investment for your career. And it's also convenient because I give you all the tools and techniques and templates that I use when I do my consulting. It's all organized into a really practical and easy system to implement. And the certification program, unlike the workshops, which are you've got to actually travel to attend them, it's all via group teleconferences. You also get private one-on-one phone coaching with me, which is one of the only ways you can do that these days because my schedule's getting so busy. I also give you lots of email coaching and feedback on the work that you do throughout the program. You can join in from anywhere in the world, basically. You don't have to travel. It's just fully supported online. And like I said, it's the performance measure blueprint on steroids. You learn how to teach it, facilitate it, not just do it, but how to lead it, how to manage a performance measurement project. And if that sounds kind of like what you're ready for, you can read a lot more about it at pumpcertification.com. So that's www.pumpcertification.com. Okay, I can see more questions coming through, so I might go through that now and stay on the line just a little bit longer to answer any questions of anybody who's still there and wants to use this time to talk with me and to get a little bit of advice or some extra tips. Again, I understand if it's time for you to leave, that's fine. Look, send me some feedback too. If you really got something out of this webcast, I want to know that because it'll help me decide what sort of information to provide you with in the future. So just email my assistant Claire at info@stacybarr.com and just let us know what you thought about it. There'll be great feedback, whether you liked it, didn't like it, what you found most valuable, what didn't really work for you. Feedback's really important. So let's start going through some of your questions. Moira, hi, I'm glad you Maurices, thanks. Really enjoyed the webinar. Finally managed the time and technology to tune in. I'm so glad. I hope that means you'll be joining a lot more of these, Moira, in the future. Pia, I need to drop, but I did want to say thank you very much for sharing such valuable information. It's great to see that there are others out there that share the passion for measurements. Yes, there are people out there that share a passion for performance measurements, and many of you are listening with others who do. So it's great that we can connect this way. Thanks, Pia. Marie, thanks so much. Yi in the US. Sorry, I didn't catch it. What's the URL of the blueprint again? Okay, I'll go through those URLs quickly one more time. For the Performance Measure Blueprint Workshop, that's simply www.performancemeasureblueprint.com. So performancemeasureblueprint.com. So that's for the two-day workshop. That's where you learn the techniques and the process to design your implementation of those techniques, performancemeasureblueprint.com. The second URL I gave you was for the practitioner certification program. This is the blueprint on steroids. So this is the next level up. It's got a lot more coaching, a lot more information, a lot more tools and templates that help you become the facilitator or leader of performance measurements, the expert in your organization. And it is, the URL for that one is www.pumpcertification.com. That's pumpcertification.com. So they were the two URLs I gave you. We also have an audio program for the blueprint. If you want to know about that, just email us info@stacybarr.com. I don't want to give you too many links and confuse you today. Okay, next question. Thanks, Neil. Chris in Belgium, I'm going to bed now. I have another 5 hours before getting up. You got up, you stayed up really late for this, Chris. Thank you so much. It was great to have you join and to put that effort into attending live. Okay, it looks like we are running low on questions now. I can't really see any more coming in. So let me just do a summary of what I'm going to do for you next, and then we will wrap up. Firstly, I'm going to send you a copy of the mind map that I will create from all of your input today so that you have the model to follow. I'll also send you detailed information about the pump framework so that you understand what each of the tentacles or branches on that mind map means. That will be a little PDF document. I'll also send you that about pump document too, that, I'm sorry, not the about pump, the mind mapping instruction sheet, so that you actually have the steps we've gone through today laid out for you in a process, so it's easier for you to figure out how you're going to implement it. I'll send you the links with the options that I shared for you today, just so that you've got some suggestions to make to your colleagues when you take them through this exercise. And something that I'd like you to remember as well is that you're the one who knows the value of performance measurement, and you're the one who feels motivated and passionate enough to be here with me and to learn more about it. And to me, this means that you're the one to take the lead and to show your colleagues the value of measuring and how it doesn't have to be boring and it doesn't have to be time-consuming and it doesn't have to be a futile activity that's just jumping through bureaucratic hoops like it has been in the past. Performance measurement can be engaging and exciting, incredibly insightful, and honestly much easier than it's been in the past. So you are the performance leader that needs to step up, own that space, and show people the way. Well, thank you everyone for joining me today. It's been the most fun webcast I've ever done. It's been so great to have so much participation from you from all over the world. The audio recording will be available soon on the webcast page for a limited time. I will email it to you, the link, when it's ready, just so that you can download a copy and listen again at your convenience. Other than that, this is where I'll leave you. Thanks again, everyone, for joining me. I hope I get to personally work with you this year in some way. But for now, this is Stacey Barr signing off. Have a great day or evening ahead, everybody.